Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the American Nightmare Podcast. This is episode 85.
Woop, woop. Nice.
Recorded April 24th, 2025.
Yes.
Yes.
Control yourself.
I'm sorry. I'll try.
Oh, you're so cool, Brewster.
All right. Let's get started right away with the news. Okay. We're going to change things up a little bit. I don't have so many news stories as I normally do. I think I got like a little more than a handful. Things that I thought were interesting because we can spend a little more time discussing each item rather than rattling off the news that went on throughout the month, and we're probably late to most of it when we read it on the podcast. So the first story they have is the new trailer for Predators Badlands. That looks really freaking interesting.
It does, man. It looks almost like a warrior, like a old school, like, you know, kung fu movie type shit. But like,
right, and then
kung
on top of that, it apparently it's a crossover with Alien, because that android, when her eyes go white, she has the Wutani symbol on
really?
Her eyes.
I missed that. Oh shit!
Which means she's from the Weyland Yutani Corporation, and that's a crossover with Aliens. So I'm like, wow. I don't know how that's all going to tie together, because it was just a bit of a teaser, but man, I'm excited for that.
Nice.
And then this is, you know, kind of going in with, you know, they have the Predator Hunter of Hunters animation film that's coming out also.
Yeah, I remember you talked about that.
Yeah, so the three movies of Prey, the Predator Hunter of Hunters, and Predator Badlands are all put together by the same writer, director, producer team. So I'm very excited to like what they're going to be unraveling with all this stuff. And the great thing is, it looks like all of it's going to be in theaters now, which really, it's a shame that they didn't release Prey in the theaters, because that was quite the film.
Nice.
The second story I have here is, I just the other day, I'm like, going through YouTube, and bam, I Know What You Did Last Summer, a trailer.
I thought it looked really good.
Yeah, and from what I read, it's not a reboot, it's a continuation.
Well, yeah, because Jennifer Love Hewitt shows up in the trailer. Yeah. I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah.
And they said, like, this has happened in this town before.
Yeah, so this is kind of like what they did when they created Scream, the last, the what was it?
Right,
Scream
the last
5?
Three. Yeah, exactly. They continued on.
Did Last Summer was a great film, and I'm really hoping that this is just as good.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the trailer looked promising.
Yeah, it looked great. Yeah. All right. The next story that I have is Netflix released the Wednesday season 2 teaser trailer.
Yep.
Season 1 was great. I'm kind of looking forward to this. It's been a while, you know. It's one thing that I forget about is, with all these TV show seasons that are coming out, is that, you know, we just came out of really the pandemic age, right?
Yeah.
Because even though the pandemic was happening in 2020, 2021 was kind of the peak years of it, there was no production really going on during the time, or any production that was going on was delayed.
Yeah.
So we're just finally seeing all the films that were filmed during that time, and we're just catching up to, like, there's a bit of a gap. It's one of the things that everyone keeps complaining about. It's like, hey, how comes, like,
Stranger Things?
Stranger Things. Or more, I'm thinking along the lines of, like, Severance, right? Everyone's like, why did it take so long for season 1 and season 2 of Severance? Why are they so far apart?
Yellow Jackets, too.
Same with Yellow Jackets. Like, they all got interrupted because of the pandemic bullshit. And now we're finally just getting back.
Even Wednesday took a while, right?
Yeah, we're finally getting back into the swing of, like, things being released.
And the strike, too, screwed things up.
Yeah. Let's see. The other story that I just saw on Instagram. So on Instagram, Brad Kane, who is a showrunner for multiple series over the years. He's now the showrunner for Crystal Lake, and he posted a picture that the production offices are now open. Production is beginning on Crystal Lake, the series, the Friday 13th series. I don't know what your thoughts are on that. Are you excited? What are you thinking? I know we talked about it a couple times before. We talked about the cast, some of the people that were joining the cast, including Linda Cardellini, who's going to play Pam.
Mrs. Voorhees.
Yeah, Pam Voorhees.
I like her, and she's a good actor, so I mean, that's something to look for, right? Should be good.
I'm hoping it is. It really is going to come down to the writing, I guess, right?
Yeah.
That's something we're not going to know until.
Yeah, the acting shouldn't be bad.
Sorry, I froze up there for like 3 minutes. My computer just like, you guys were like, I couldn't see or hear you.
It's craziness.
So if I wasn't answering anything, it's because I was lost.
Well, we were just talking about the Crystal Lake series. What are your thoughts? Are you anticipating this as being something good? I know we talked about Linda Cardellini playing Pam Voorhees.
Gotcha. All right.
One of the previous episodes.
That's where I came in.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts? You feel like this is going to be something worth our viewing time?
Yeah, no, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of other stuff that's coming out that I'm looking forward to. This, I mean, I liked Friday the 13th. It's part of my childhood. It's classic, you know, 80s slasher. I don't know, like a pre-story, because, like, I don't know.
What are we going to see there? The death of Jason?
Yeah, probably, right?
Like are you going to build up to, like, two or three seasons of him, like, you know, being around the campground? Like, I don't know. Like,
it seems weird.
I don't know.
Yeah, there's got to be another scary, because that's not really scary watching a kid at camp, you know what I mean?
Wasn't there in the 90s, didn't we have a Friday the 13th TV series?
Oh, I think so, yeah. Yeah. I think so.
It's not something I watched, though, but yeah.
I didn't either, again, because I was like, what?
Yeah. I mean,
what was that other god-awful
series?
I don't know.
The other day, I was at the Fourth Horseman, and I watched Jason versus Freddy, which is...
I liked it.
But it was fun to watch while eating pizza and having some beer.
They were supposed to do a Jason versus Freddy versus Ash.
That would have been awesome.
Well, yeah, no, that original Friday the 13th series was terrible. It had nothing to do with any...
No, it didn't. It had nothing to do with...
It was like... wasn't it like a haunted pawn shop or something like
that? It was something retarded like that. And wasn't it on like Fox or something?
I don't remember. It was terrible.
Adam's shitty network.
I don't think I ever attempted to watch it.
It was horrible. Horrible.
I think I watched like one or two of the first episodes, and then I was like, what is this crap?
Yeah.
And didn't watch
anymore. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it.
Nice.
I'll give it a shot.
The only problem that I have is I don't believe it's on anything we're going to watch, right? It's that any of us are subscribed to. It's on Paramount Plus.
Oh, I have Paramount Plus.
I have
that now.
I have that.
Oh, you do? All right.
Yep.
Is it Paramount Plus or is it the other one?
When is it?
Peacock.
If it's Peacock.
It's on Peacock.
It's Peacock's bad.
It's on Peacock.
Yeah,
Peacock's
I got rid of Peacock.
Bad. Yeah, nobody has Peacock.
I got it during the football season because they showed the Bills play on the one day.
Yeah, like one or two games. I remember that.
And then they cut two shows that I've liked now on there. So,
yep.
Bastards.
Yeah. All right. Next news story: the new Alien Earth teaser trailer that they released on Earth Day. The funny thing about that trailer, which just really doesn't tell you anything.
No, not at all.
But it's like, what's his name? That science dude was.
Bill Nye?
Doing the voice. No, it's... I can't remember his freaking name, and I'm getting old, and I can't handle being old. Alien. Or
David Attenborough?
Yeah, that would be cool, right?
No, it's... What the hell is that guy's name?
Not Bill Nye.
Science guy. Not the astronomer.
Neil deGrasse Tyson. There you go.
Oh. Yeah, the astronomer. Yeah.
Yeah. Neil deGrasse Tyson.
I was going to say Mr. Wizard next.
Or he's not. He's an astrophysicist, right? Yeah.
He's an astrophysicist. And he's a fellow at the Hayden Planetary.
I've been there. Didn't see him. I was hoping to see him.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting because it's like one of those, you know, Earth documentaries.
Yeah.
And then they zoom out and you see the embryo inside the planet. Kind of
should be interesting.
Yeah.
That's on new Apple TV, though, right?
No, I think this is coming to... that's a good question.
Last one was Kick-Ass, dude. I loved it.
I thought it was coming to Hulu. That's right.
Oh, is it? Okay. Right? I thought it was Apple TV for some reason.
I don't have Hulu.
Fox owns that one.
I don't have Hulu.
I have Hulu, but just the cheap one.
They're talking, but they're talking about it. There's like a triple bundle now. It's Disney Plus, Hulu, and Max.
They're all the same thing.
But they say you won't get the Supreme Max in 4K.
No, I don't get it with Max. What I get is the Hulu and Disney Plus commercial free 4K streaming, which is only $19.99 a month.
Okay, not terrible. I would have to get rid of something.
It's nice to have, you know, Disney and Hulu, you know.
Yeah,
they got the same shit on them anyway. So
I know.
When you go to either app, it's the same shit.
So maybe I'll just get Hulu.
Yeah, it's a Hulu FX. It starts streaming this summer.
Sweet. So Hulu does have Disney stuff on it? If you just add Hulu?
Well, the bundle that I got, I don't have the Hulu app. The way it works is you log into Disney Plus.
Gotcha.
And then there's Hulu shows there. And you can click on them or you can search and find Hulu shows there.
Yeah, if you just have Disney Plus, you can get most of the Hulu like shit.
Okay,
on that.
All right.
So I'm excited for this. It says the plot is a mysterious space vessel crash lands on Earth. A young woman, played by Sydney Chandler, and a ragtag group of tactical soldiers make a fateful discovery that puts them face to face with the planet's greatest threat.
Any writers, directors involved in any of the past ones, or?
Noah Hawley is the creator for this show.
Okay.
So let's see. He doesn't sound familiar.
It sounds familiar to me.
Not me.
Let's see what he has done in the past. Noah Hawley has done Fargo, Legion, Lucy in the Sky, The Alibi.
The Diamonds.
Yeah. So he's done the Fargo TV show. That's kind of cool. And Legion. Legion was a great Marvel TV show that followed the character of Legion, that is the son of Professor X. All right. The next story, Heather Graham is going to play the lead role in Entity Within, according to Deadline. Entity Within.
Heather Graham.
Yeah, Entity Within is the story of Entity. Remember Entity from the 1980s? Fantastic Horror.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Entity Within, Alliance Media Partners.
That's why Heather Graham's in it, right? Because the sexual nudity.
The horror flick guys that did Insidious, Paranormal Activity, producer Steven Schneider.
Okay.
It's a horror-based... this horror film is based on the same story as The Entity. Set in 1974, suburban Los Angeles, single mother is violently attacked by an unseen force in her home. With no one believing her, turns to a team of paranormal researchers, leading to one of the most documented and disturbing supernatural cases in U.S. history.
Sounds pretty interesting.
The film is based on a true story that truth is chilling, and it is a horror and a challenge to bring Doris's raw and terrifying experiences to the screen with care and dignity. So proud to be part of this film. This is an elevated horror film that blends emotional depth with real-life terror, and we believe it will deeply resonate with both genre fans and new audiences alike.
Interesting. And when's that come out?
Doesn't say. Oh. It hasn't started filming yet, so they just cast...
Oh, gotcha.
They just cast...
Heather Graham's boobs.
Yeah.
Heather Graham's boobs, yeah. It's probably the only one that says, okay, I'll do it.
What was that one we watched on, we were talking about that we watched on?
Suitable Flesh?
Shudder. Yeah, Suitable Flesh. That was.
I haven't watched it yet. It's in my queue.
Really? That's a great film. It's really good.
You've said, and I wanted to see it.
All right. A new trailer for Bring Her Back, teaser trailer number 2. Brother and sister uncover a terrifying ritual at a secluded home of their new foster mother from the creators of Talk to Me. And that's the thing in this trailer that I noticed is the resemblance to the Talk to Me trailer.
For sure.
So the same writer, director, associated with...
Wasn't it Brothers or something like that?
Yeah, some Aussie dudes. I forget. They go by like a name.
Yeah.
Like the Aussie Collective or something like that.
Yeah, I'm excited for that because Talk to Me was really a great film.
Yeah,
I know. I don't know this trailer. I'm assuming it's going to be good, but the trailer didn't really do it for me. And I'm not saying like I'm not going to watch it. It's just like I don't know.
I know.
Well, remember, it's not a full blown trailer. This is just a teaser. It's not.
Oh, okay. All right. I forgot.
They're not
going to
give
trailer.
You any real details yet until the full trailer comes out.
And sometimes they can't too, right?
Well, okay. If there's a secret going on, but I don't know if that's the case here. Maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
The last story that I have listed here is the viral marketing campaign that has started for the weapons film. www.maybrookmissing.com. This is the Barbarian director's new horror film that launches this viral marketing campaign last week. Craiger. What the hell is the guy's full name? I don't remember. Zach Craiger. So you guys remember Barbarian, that film.
Oh, yeah.
That one blew my mind. And he was involved in Companion, too, right?
Yep.
No. So what it is Companion, it was done by the same production company.
Gotcha.
That did Barbarian.
Okay.
And the same production company that's doing Weapons. So
gotcha.
What happened is after Barbarian came out, it was so popular, like it was such a surprise hit that there was a bidding war to try and get his next film. And New Line Cinema won that bidding war.
And it's a good place for him.
Yeah. He said to him, here, you know, do what you want to do. New Line Cinema, which is part of Warner Brothers, it's their kind of their.
But New Line's done some really good horror.
In the past, they have.
Yeah, but they're, you know, like.
Yeah.
Horror legends, I think.
No, for sure. Yeah.
So basically, according to Deadline, they're saying that you know New Line Cinema has like an all-in partnership with Craiger.
Sweet.
So they're doing Bold Light Pictures, which is the production company that did Barbarian, Companion, Becky's Revenge, now this film, also Friendship, that I'm going to see a screening of that on Saturday. So that's like
another
weird comedy type thing that looks like it might be a little crazy. So I'm excited for that. But this company kind of went all in with him, and they're doing this film like kind of he got to write it, direct it, produce it, and supposedly it's going to be great.
Nice.
So it says he proved that with Barbarian, he creates excellent, visceral theatrical experiences for audience to have, right? Because that's one of those movies where you think you know what's going on, and then halfway through you're like, well, what the fuck just happened? And it flips on its head, you know? Everything that you thought you knew was not the case anymore. So they're very excited for something to come out of this. So I'm very excited for it too.
So the last three I looked, the New Line, they did Companion, Malignant.
Yep.
Evil Dead Rise. Yeah. So they have done some good stuff.
They've done some really good stuff recently.
Yeah.
So it is rated R. We talked about this last month that it got an R rating, for grisly images, language, adult
bears
language
in it?
Throughout it, and sexual content and drug use.
Are the bears having sex?
What?
You said grisly images and then something about sexual content. Like,
no,
is bear
grisly
sex?
Grisly as in gross, disgusting, and highly graphic, bloody, violent, grisly.
And sex.
Not grisly sex, but.
Well, I mean, it happens.
Grizzly sex happens, but I don't think it's ever been caught on film. I mean, it may have. You know. It may have.
All right.
Oh, actually, I got a couple more here. I missed these too. I got two more yet. My format of my notes is throwing me off. The next one is Mike Flanagan just got greenlit for a Carrie TV series that will be on Amazon Prime.
I like it.
Carrie is one of those films that, you know, the original Sissy Spacek film back in 1976, directed by Brian De Palma,
yeah,
was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing film. And then the 2013 remake with Chloe.
Yeah, that was good too.
Moritz.
Moritz. Moritz. Moritz.
I don't Moritz, know. Moritz. Moritz. Yeah, that's her, right?
Yeah, that was her. That was her. Chloe Grace Moritz.
Yeah,
is that her name?
Yeah, that's. I don't know how to pronounce her last name. But
she was in the 2013 one, which also was a fucking great remake.
Yeah. And you can go back because they just basically start those movies off where her mom's already a nut job, and you know what I mean? So you can go back a little bit.
Just think of how you can add the technology that we have today. Like, you could add like a social media kind of twist to it.
That's what I think he's planning on doing here, because based on what I read,
for it, man.
There's this Deadline article that just came out, last week, saying that his plan is to take this very iconic story that has withstood the test of time, right? You know, we've seen multiple versions of this, and it's always relevant. It's always something that makes sense for the time it's being done in. And they want to take this and have Mike Flanagan like helm a new reimagining of it and kind of bring it up to date with common and current global and social issues that can be tied into the story that make it make sense.
I think that it'd be a good job. Mike Flanagan?
So, yes, I myself, Mike Flanagan, you know, listen, Mike Flanagan is far from perfect, but he has done pretty amazing in almost everything.
So he's got the green light to go, like, steer away from Stephen King's story.
No, the green light to create it. So he's taken Stephen King's story and he's updating it for modern times.
Okay.
So I imagine it's just like when they say reimagining, it's not like, oh, he's going to change the whole story, but he's probably going to do exactly the things we said, which is like add some social media elements to it. Because think about it. Because
she was picked on, right? And that really doesn't happen probably anymore. I mean, it does.
Well, it does online.
Like, well, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You can't escape it these days.
Nobody gets picked on in the locker room. If it's all after you leave, they text about you.
Right. Exactly. So they just got to bring it up to modern times, put that extra edge into it that makes it more impactful for the youth of today.
Yeah.
And I bet it'll be a real hit.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, very excited for it. And one more news story here. That is I just read this one on the Insnider, which is this subscription-only Hollywood blog from someone that has some link to the inside and gets some secret information, but he just put a one or two line blurb on his blog the other day that said Ryan Gosling has just take on to produce the Killer Clowns from Outer Space remake.
Yeah, I saw that.
That is pretty fucking awesome.
That should be interesting.
This is one of those things where I talked to you guys last year about when I got my, what is it? It was like the 35th anniversary 4K Blu-ray that I got last year.
Yep.
It's been 36 years now, but in the documentary on there that's with the Chiodo brothers talking about when they wrote this film, how they got their money together to make it, how this independent idea and independent film was put together by these brothers – their whole goal was to make a franchise, you know, a Killer Clowns from Outer Space franchise, but they just could never get it off the ground after that first movie.
Interesting.
This may be the opportunity to do something with it.
Yeah.
Sweet.
And, you know, Ryan Gosling, he's a bit younger than our generation, but I'm sure he's one of those guys that saw this film and was like, ah, this is fucking great. I want to do something with it. And now he's got he's signed on as a producer for this remake. I'm kind of excited. I hope the one thing that means the most to me is the fucking clowns, man.
Mm-hmm. The goofy looking.
Yeah, the goofy looking and the animatronic face. I don't want any digital effects for the clowns.
Yeah.
We got to have, you know, practical effects just like they did in the original.
That'd be
nice.
It
looks kind of goofy, but it's fucking great. It adds a whole level of aesthetics to the film that just not having it doesn't make any sense to me. And that's it for the news stories that I have.
You guys got
anything you want to talk about?
Yeah, you guys get to finish season 3 of Yellow Jackets?
I did not. I'm only in the middle of season 2.
Ah, okay.
I have one left. I wasn't feeling it. I told my wife, I was like, I don't know that I'm going to watch it next season.
No, I thought it started off slow, but I thought the end of the season really picked up and got pretty freaking crazy.
And you can tell they're dragging her feet, trying to
finish the story.
I know.
Probably, I would say one more season at least.
Yeah.
This is what I feel. I'm only in the middle of season two, right?
Yep. Two. So you got a whole nother season to go then.
Right, and I'm going through it very slowly. Mm-hmm. Because it really isn't grabbing me by the gooch. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, all right.
It's not something, like, there's plenty of shows where I start watching and go, oh, man, this one is fucking
Season
great.
One was fantastic. Like I said, it was good. The story, I was like, but then it, like I said, the longer I watch it, I'm just losing interest.
Right. Okay. All right.
I mean, I like the whole idea. I think, this is what I think. I think the market that this was made for is not me.
No, I'm with you.
So okay. I'm not gonna knock it. Like, I do like the story. Like, I talked to my sister about it. She loves it. Her daughters love it.
I like it.
I'm like, to me, it's like a rehashing of Lord of the Flies.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah. And then the acting's sort of, I don't know, not so good either. But
some of it's all right. I mean,
yeah,
I thought it's a pretty good cast.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I will say is
there's some good. No, but I'm saying I get annoyed when some of the bad acting is on, you know, screen. Like,
I will say that the casting of young to old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking yeah. Amazing. Solid. Solid.
Like,
for sure.
Wow. Yeah. I'm like, wow, this is really good.
For sure.
So who do you think they picked, the adults first and then the children?
I don't know.
That's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. That would probably make more sense, I guess.
Yeah.
Especially since you got bigger name stars as the
although the kids, well, I guess they're split time, but it seems like the kids are on longer than the adults, but.
Yeah. Okay. So also, I just finished The Bondsman. Have you guys, either of you guys watched
it? Yeah, started watching it.
Loved it.
Yeah. It was great. It was a great little series. I was like, I hope they come out with a second season.
The only thing I'm going to say, so number one, they haven't announced a second season yet, which it may not have one.
Yeah.
But there were some flaws in the logic of the show, and there were two of them that just really kind of nagged at me, especially near the end. That I was like, yeah, there's a hole in the logic here that I just can't overlook. Like, I like the idea. It makes a lot of sense. But there was a hole in the logic that I was like, that I can't get past that. Because every episode after the third or fourth episode, when I thought about it, I'm like, yeah, but what about this hole in the logic? And then the next episode, I'm like, oh, that's pretty good. But what about that hole? They still haven't addressed this hole in the logic. And so I like the show, but my brain just keeps going, there's a flaw in the logic of this fucking thing. But it was good. It was good.
Yeah, that's
fun. Kevin Bacon is a good actor.
Yeah, and it was only half-hour episodes, only eight episodes long. It was a nice, quick...
And I don't know if you guys watch do you guys watch Righteous Gemstones?
No. Yeah, I love it. Love that show.
Well, do you notice that the girl, the singer girl in The Bondsman is the mom from the Righteous Gemstones?
Oh, jeez.
Really?
Yeah. Put a brown wig on her and she's singing. That's her. It's the same actress.
No, I didn't notice that.
Nice. I was like, man, this girl, she's singing these country songs and she's got this smile and this blonde hair. And I'm like, she looks really fucking familiar. And then I like Google her and I'm like, oh shit, she's the fucking mom from the Righteous Gemstones. That's awesome.
Interesting. That's been a good season. And then my other thing is I've been watching Doc of Chucky on Shudder. Have you guys checked that out yet?
Have not yet.
No.
I'm gonna.
Dude, it's like 5 hours long, but it's really good. Like it starts from the beginning and goes all the way up. I'm only at the fourth movie, I think, or fifth movie. But, dude, the animatronics that they had for that, like, when it came out, was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Because that was, like, what, 89, 90? Well, I think the first one.
For the first movie?
Yeah. I should have looked that up because I was going to talk about it, but.
Yeah, the very first movie was 88.
88, okay. But it's pretty good. They go through everyone and like how the cast and stuff like that, and it's fun. Although I didn't realize this except until I started watching the series was that it's a pretty gay series. Other than the first one, Don Mancini, the creator, is a gay man. I didn't realize that, and it takes on a whole nother light when you're watching the documentary. I would recommend it. It's fun.
Does it take on the same light that the documentary about Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2 does?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. But apparently they weren't quite as gay the first two movies, and then they got, like, they gave him more creative leeway, and then they got, like, pretty gay.
Gayer?
Yeah. And I'm okay with that. I still enjoy them.
It's
like,
fine. It's fine.
The series was, like, very gay, and I liked it.
Listen, Child's Play 1, 2, and 3 are still... I love those films.
And Chucky's, you know, Mount Rushmore of horror icons.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That's all I got.
Awesome.
Craig?
Nope, I'm good.
All right.
I will say one other thing, too, is, like, if you guys haven't, and I know, Chris, you said you were going to, Sinners. What a movie.
Oh, yeah. Saturday, I'm going to see it.
Yeah. I'm going to go see it tomorrow for the second time. In fact, the first time I saw it in a regular theater, tomorrow I'm going to see it in IMAX because Ryan Coogler did this great video I saw on Instagram where he's like breaking down how he filmed it, what 70 millimeter vertical versus horizontal is. And then he says, here's what happens and here's the theaters. And then today he posted up on Instagram, if you're in the Los Angeles area and you want to go see the best version of it, here's the theaters that you can go to. Because IMAX, and I didn't realize this, he explained that IMAX has three different theater types.
Oh, really?
With three different aspect ratios being shown on the screen.
I didn't know that either.
Neither did I. So he broke that down. And then today there was posting, if you want to see it this way, go to these theaters in LA. If you want to see it this way, you can go to these theaters in the LA area. And I'm like, all right, I guess I'm going to fucking LA to see it on the top.
Well, now I'm going to have to check to see if the one in Saucon Valley's got, because they got an IMAX. I'll see if that's shown there.
Go to the IMAX website. There's a link there that you can click for Sinners, and you can type in your address, and it'll show you which IMAX theater is near you and which versions of the Sinners is playing.
Sweet. All right. So thanks. I'll do that.
It's a fantastic movie. The soundtrack is fantastic. It's 1930s blues.
Nice.
It's good shit.
And it's just freaking it's just amazing. Amazing film. All right. Let's move on to five flicks to watch. It is you, Chris.
All right. Yeah. So this is a streaming service that probably not a lot of people have, but I got it for that show From, which is in its third season. So MGM Plus.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, right. Right? There's some good ones on there. There's a lot of really, like, old stuff.
MGM Plus, wait a minute. Isn't that like Amazon? Amazon owns MGM, right?
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Well, it's its own app, so.
That's weird.
Yeah, so there's a lot of, like, really, like, old stuff on there. And then, like, some new stuff, but really a lot of old, like, old shit.
It's
so
like
here's
Turner
my
classic movies or something.
Yeah, kind
of. Wizard of Oz, was it James Bond? Wizard of Oz, maybe? Yeah.
So here's my five horrors to watch on MGM Plus in no particular order.
Okay.
Return of the Living Dead.
Nice.
That's a great movie. I think it's been on several of my lists. The Thing. The original, well, not the original, the one with Kurt Russell in it. One of also made a lot of my lists. Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the 1956 version.
Oh, really?
Dude, that creeped me out as a kid. That was one of my first.
I don't think
movies.
I've seen the black and white.
No?
Nope.
It's good. Original. It's a good one.
Yeah.
My fourth one is Ghoulies.
Yes.
Yeah, so you can catch Ghoulies on MGM Plus. And this one here, and I have it. So it's Last House on the Left, the 72 version, but it's also unrated. And I don't think I've ever seen an unrated version of it. And I'm not sure if I really want to or not, because the non-unrated version was pretty graphic. So yes, I can't imagine what happens in the unrated version.
Yeah, nice.
But it's also a classic, Wes Craven. That's Wes Craven,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's five movies for you to watch on MGM Plus if you have it.
Nice. That's a good list, actually, because the original Invasion of the Body Snatchers, man, I watched that a long time ago. My favorite version, which I just watched a few months ago again, was was it 1970s?
Donald Sutherland?
Yeah, Donald Sutherland.
Yeah, MGM doesn't pump out the horror movies, huh?
Well, that's why I said that when you look at their horror selection, there's not a lot. There's a lot of older shit.
Yeah. Killer Clowns.
All right, Very good. All right, now let's move on to our top five. The top five this month I picked the top five horror films based on Stephen King properties.
Dude, we could have done top 10 for this. That went like,
yeah,
holy shit.
I know.
There is quite a bit.
I can't believe we haven't done this yet. This is a good find, Sal.
Yeah, well, it goes with our movie of the month, so.
Yep, sure does. Okay. And it might have made my list.
Let's see, we got who's in what order? It is Sal, Chris, Craig. Okay, I will start. My number five, 1408. Talk about it all the time.
Yeah, you
I
do.
Director's cut of it.
Good cast, too.
That's funny. You really like that top, movie.
Yeah, it's one of my top Stephen King movies. It's also one of my top. What's his name? The actor that's in that again?
Cusack.
John Cusack movies. Every and Samuel L. Jackson. I have the John Cusack movie marathon, and 1408 is the most modern John Cusack film that I'll play in that marathon.
Okay.
Nice.
Better Off Dead, probably my favorite Cusack movie.
Oh, it's a great film. I like One Crazy Summer, too.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever happen to get your hands on the Blu-ray or 4K version of 1408? It has all five different endings on it.
Oh, nice. Okay. Sweet.
There were five different endings, and depending what theater you went to, you got a different ending. When
I don't think out. I knew that at the time.
Yeah. Just like Clue. Clue did that, too.
Yeah, I knew Clue. I knew that about Clue.
All right, my number two, or sorry, number four is It Chapter Two.
Nice. I grouped those together. Not that they're on my list, but I
you
just
know what?
Figured
let me do it that way. I'm just going to call it It.
Yeah, I put them together.
That's what I did too.
If they happen to be in my list,
because the book was one book. Yeah, no, I did the same thing.
All right.
Okay.
My number three, Creepshow, the original Creepshow.
It's great.
That's one of those movies that I saw as a kid. It scared the ever-loving shit out of me. And the thing that made it even worse is the person I saw that was a friend of my mom's, and he was a well-to-do off guy. He had a giant projection television.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You got to see all that horror in giant size. Yeah. I remember sitting on his couch with a blanket like, what the fuck am I? So, yeah.
Nice.
Love that film. My number two. I know I mentioned this one on a lot of my lists. Christine.
Yeah.
Love that movie.
Yeah.
Have it on 4K. Yeah. Watch it every year. And my number one, my favorite Stephen King property adaptation is Dr. Sleep.
Okay.
That was good. That was a good one.
I have two honorable mentions. The first one is 1922, which is on Netflix.
Yep.
Love that was good.
And my number two is Misery. Misery was one that I was going to put at my number five. But I'm like,
I did the same thing. I yanked it out of there. But
yeah. All right.
It's tough.
It's a good list. And my list is slightly different than yours. And it's funny how certain Stephen King movies are different for each person. And
I think the stories resonate differently with different people.
Yeah, because they're similar, but also, very different. So my number five is The Shining.
Nice.
Okay.
It's a great movie, and apparently, that wasn't originally how he intended the movie to be. So they
Kubrick really yanked that one apart, didn't he?
Yeah, and then they redid it for a made-for-TV show, in the '90s, right?
Yeah, with the Hardy Boy guy. Or
that
whatever.
One is a direct,
right,
like for like from the book, and it did not do well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I liked Kubrick's version of it, kind of. So, number four, Needful Things. I watched that one a couple times, every couple of years again.
That movie, the characters that they casted were pretty good from, because I read that book.
Uh-huh.
And you know, you anticipate.
They matched them up well?
Yeah. Especially Max von,
Von
for the storekeeper. Down. Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was a great, great concept. I
love the book. And it was a great movie, but it didn't, for whatever reason. I think it is the time in my life when that film came out. It just didn't.
Yeah, I'm with you. Sometimes the books. Yeah, I mean, most
it's
of
crazy.
The times the books are better. But
like I said, as we're going through these, and there was some that I've looked at. I'm like, I didn't really care for that one at all.
Yeah.
And none that you said, but it's weird.
But they did do a nice, like I said, they did a nice job with transposing the story. Yeah.
My number three is The Monkey. And we'll talk about that later, since that's our movie to review. My number two is Misery. I really just enjoyed the seclusion of that movie and him being helpless at the hands of a psychopath. Bravo to that.
Absolutely great film.
And then my number one is It's Chapter 1 and 2.
Okay.
I thought they were like amazing movies, like besides being, you know, horror.
Oh, yeah. And they were scary.
Right. They were.
Listen, Andy Muschietti's film masterpiece, those two films.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I got.
And Evil Dead Rise.
Also a great film.
Yeah.
So I'll just go through my honorable mentions real quick. I have Creepshow. Children of the Corn, that one really creeped the shit out of me when I was a kid.
He Who Lies Behind the Rose.
Dude, that cat that played Malachi, he was just creepy on his own.
Yep.
Dude, and the remake of that one was so fucking bad.
Yeah, it was. Rotten,
and another horrible one that, is horror, but, you know, like quite different is Apt Pupil.
Yeah, that was another really good one.
Yeah. You know, I the first time I watched that, I was like, I was sweating watching that movie and just feeling what was going on between that Nazi and that kid, it was just a great, great film.
So many good films by Stephen King.
I know,
like,
man.
One that I almost put on the list too was Mr. Harrigan's Phone.
Yeah, that was on Netflix. That was on Netflix.
I don't think I saw that.
I'll watch it. It's good.
Okay.
And Graveyard Shift.
Graveyard Shift, Mr. Mercedes.
Yep.
Another fucking great series that they, right,
cool. Yeah, Graveyard Shift they made so, it was just like dirty. That's why I said they did a nice job with that one too, but
anyhow. We really could have done a top 10.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, that's it. That's my list.
Okay. Right. Number five, nobody had it on, Pet Sematary.
Nice.
The original, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was a creepy movie when I was younger.
I liked it. I agree, man.
Gage, when he came back, the sister Zelda.
Even Church, the cat was creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah, me and my friends used to watch that all the time back in the day. And I liked the movie a lot, but it just didn't make my list because...
Yeah, no, I got you. And another one, Salem's Lot, the TV version.
I haven't watched it.
They did a nice job with the remake a few years ago.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Do I have to pick either the TV? No, it's the story.
I don't think so. Yeah.
It's the movie.
You can just say,
because it's off the story, right? So yeah, you're good.
Yeah, Salem's Lot. Number three, I went with the monkey. Monkey. Nice. Watching that, I know I won't give too much away, but you can tell it was a Stephen King story for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Number two, I went with It Uno Dos.
Nice.
And number one, Creepshow. For sure.
Nice.
I watch that movie all the time.
Whenever, yeah. I love
it's hard. It's hard because they don't. It's not on a lot of spots.
No.
It's hard to find, but when I find
say,
it,
I will say. I was looking at our Letterboxd account, which we now have set up. We reviewed the remake of Pet Sematary April 25th, 2019, and we gave it 1.5 stars.
So. Really?
Yeah.
What did we give?
The remake of Pet Sematary.
Oh, yeah.
1.5 stars.
Trash.
It was trash. I think that's when I shut off, maybe.
I think giving us 1.5 stars is kind of like...
I might have shut that one off halfway through.
Yeah.
I went to the theater to see it with my friends.
Ooh.
Yeah. Awful. And I like to give movies a shot, remakes a shot.
Yeah. There's some good ones.
All right. Very good. All right. Now let's move on to our movie review. The movie review this month is The Monkey. It's a Stephen King adaptation of a short story. That is quite good.
Yep.
Let's go through some little information about it. The synopsis is when twin brothers find a mysterious wind-up monkey, a series of outrageous deaths tear their family apart. 25 years later, the monkey begins a new killing spree, forcing the estranged siblings to confront the cursed toy. Directed by Osgood Perkins.
Oh, yeah.
He was in it, too.
Yep,
he's also in it. You are correct. Is produced by James Wan, David Kaplan, Brian Kavanaugh-Jones, and Chris Ferguson. Screenwriter is Osgood Perkins. Distributed by Neon Pictures. production company is Atomic Monster, which is, you know, of course, James Wan.
James Wan.
It's also Black Bear and C2. It's rated R for language throughout, gore, sexual references, and strong violent content.
Language throughout.
Yeah.
The genre is horror comedy. The original language is English. It was released in theaters February 21st, 2025, world as a wide theater opening across the U.S., and then released to streaming on April 4th, 2025. The box office gross in the U.S. is $39.7 million, and it's an hour and a half runtime.
That didn't make much, I guess.
Horror movies don't. That's something we got to always keep in mind. Horror movies do not make that
That's
much
decent
money.
For a horror movie, I think.
Oh, yes, it is. It's very good for a horror movie. So.
It was a clever film. Like,
I thought it was too short, but.
Well, it was based on. Listen.
No, like, I know. It's a short story. You're squeezing a lemon.
The story was based on it. It's relatively short. I think it was just 20 pages or something like that.
Oh, okay.
But the one thing that I was a little annoyed by, and then I found out, I saw an interview with Osgood Perkins saying why, and that was the monkey. Why was he playing drums? Even on the cover of the short, I have the short story collection that has the monkey in it, and it has the monkey on the cover. It's the cymbal clapping monkey, the one we're all familiar with from, you know, toys.
Yeah,
yeah.
Why isn't it the monkey clapping the cymbals? That was the toy. I don't remember seeing a drumming monkey that would spin the drum.
It was a special monkey.
Yeah.
Yeah. The reason why.
Like life.
It's not the cymbal clapping monkey is because of Disney.
Really?
This is the most fucked up story ever.
Oh, boy.
The cymbal clapping monkey was a childhood toy invented in the 1950s. When Disney made Toy Story 3 and had their cymbal clapping monkey in it.
Oh, they copyrighted it.
They fucking copyrighted it.
What?
Can they you do realize, that? They realized that nobody copyrighted
the image
of the
monkey. There was no copyright on it,
So they fucking copyrighted it. And when they tried to use it to make this movie, they got a cease and desist from Disney.
Oh, boy.
What?
Fucking
damn Mickey
Disney.
Mouse. Fuck you, Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, the House of the Mouse is fucking evil, dude.
Wow.
It's a
You're going to copyright a cymbal monkey, just in case.
Like, what the fuck? What the fuck?
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
Wow.
Like, that is insane. Because that, the cymbal clapping monkey, they used it as a generic toy in their film because it was a popular toy. And then they fucking trademarked that thing. They copyrighted and trademarked.
Wow.
Fucking that, bastards.
But for those of us who didn't realize, I mean, I didn't care. Like, I just, I thought it was like one of those old, like, you know, German toys, like, were kind of weird. I was like, he's a pilot. He picked it up somewhere over in Europe or something like that. It said lifelike on it. So
to
I'm
me,
like,
when I was young and I read the story.
You pictured the cymbal monkey.
Yeah. That was even on the cover because that's even how it was described in the story. It's the cymbal monkey, which everyone knew the cymbal monkey. Yeah, and my grandmother had one of those fucking things in her house, and it scared the piss out of me after reading that book.
It seemed like really big in the movie, too, right? I was like, that thing's huge.
Yeah, it's like the size of a Teddy Ruxpin.
Guy fucking enormous.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, if they got to change it, they might as well change it in a major
way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Either way, they still get the same message across. I kind of liked it even better because he didn't always have the smile.
No. That was
But he would smile when it was time to do the drumming.
Oh, yeah.
I like that he spun the drumstick, too. Yeah, like they didn't just have him drumming. They had him spin the drumstick, too. I was like, that, you know, that's
like,
technology there. That's why I thought
this
it was German.
Shit is gonna be
wet. Oh, yeah. As soon as you saw those chiclets, too, you're like, oh, look out.
Yeah, you're like, oh, fuck. I will say this. Like, fucking we're going to talk spoilery a little bit. So, you know, if you didn't see the film yet, stop right here. Don't come back if you don't want to be spoiled. But I will say this. Fantastic levels of gore. There was a little bit of digital editing in there.
Yeah, there was a couple times where it disappointed me when I saw like the when her head like kind of slides.
Yeah.
When she screams and her jaw goes a little
The
mailbox, too, you could tell was definitely.
There were a couple digital effects in there that was like, but there was a lot of practical effects that were pretty great. And the other thing, too, that I loved about the film that made it more zany and kind of wacky was the unrealistic death scenario.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like the cobra coming out of the... He's like, do they have cobras?
Yeah.
Well, there was the one.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great subtle humor that went along with the gore, too.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, fantastic.
When they came back to the house to, like, go check through the shit, they focused in on the for sale sign again, and the blood was
still on the...
Yep. Like, it was just the, like, there's a lot of good detail that they took for this movie that made me appreciate it more.
Yeah, yeah, it was really... I was really entertained thoroughly by the unrealistic death scenes that were just for the purpose of creating ultimate gore. Right, like when is a pool electrified and you go to dive into it?
That was my favorite scene. That was like, my favorite scene.
And he freaks out. He's like, "Oh shit! What was that? A leg?"
Yep, that was.
And
my
then the
favorite.
Blood just goes.
Yeah, that was my favorite. Yeah.
That was a great scene.
I love when he goes to see the house and the realtor when he opens the fucking closet door. And
it's just splattered against the wall.
Yeah, and covered in blood.
Yeah,
little bits of brain on his face.
And the cop's like, "I don't know if you've been up there, but it's like, you don't know if he's been up there. Like,
he's like
look at him,
in fucking blood." Yeah.
Was that the first? Was that the first? That was the first kill, wasn't it?
No, that was when he traveled back home to get to see if the monkey was there after the death of. Whoever was at that house, right?
His aunt.
Oh, the hair on fire. Yeah. All the fun stuff.
Yeah.
Because she had just wiped her... Did you see this toy monkey? is that a special childhood toy? Not exactly.
No, don't call it that. Don't call it that.
Don't call it that.
That was a nice running bit that they kept doing. And the other scene, that you didn't see the death itself, but then when they showed him like how he got... trampled over by all the horses in a sleeping bag, and he said it looked like someone took a golf club to a bunch of cherry pies.
Yeah,
and they show him like just dumping the what was remained of the body out of the sleeping bag.
That was
great. There was a lot of great gore in it, and I thought the acting was great too. The two kids who played twin brothers. I mean, obviously they didn't look like twins, and then. The guy who played the older twin brothers was the same guy, but I like him as an actor. He was in The Gentleman on Netflix.
He's in everything.
That show was great. The Gentleman was fucking great too, and
he was
that
great.
Actor was really good.
White he was
Lotus,
great playing
the
like the straight man and the fucking lunatic. Like he
Yeah.
Dude, just like he played his brother and he had that old suit on with like the.
Yeah, and most of his roles are like he puts on the English accent too.
Yeah, this was a good...
Or the American accent, I mean. He does the American... Because he is British, but he does the American accent most of his stuff. I think in The White Lotus.
Did you catch some of the Stephen King Easter eggs throughout the movie? Like names and locations and stuff?
No, they had a little article on that, which ones you could see or missed or whatever. I didn't...
I caught like three or four.
I'm trying to remember what it was. It was... it was the lady's name from Misery.
Annie Wilkes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Annie Wilkes.
That's the only one I think I caught.
Yeah, there was like two more that I caught as I was watching it. Because I watched it twice.
Yeah.
So the second time I caught a couple that I didn't realize the first time.
And it's funny when you realize like the number of people that have died in town. Every day I was driving through it was like just crazy accidents. And then you just realize it's his fucking twin brother like just... hoping that it kills his brother.
Yeah.
Right. He just does it over and over and over and over again.
I liked the setup for the airplane death at the end. Like earlier in the movie, his son was showing him that they could do skydiving lessons. And it says, "Oh, hey, and we do weddings." And then like an hour later, when the plane crashes and all of a sudden the lady like just like falls out with her parachute hanging her and she's got a bride's dress on.
Yeah,
that was a great setup like an hour ago with just the pamphlet.
Yeah, that was really good. I thoroughly enjoyed the show. I think it was a faithful adaptation of the book.
I never read the book, so.
And it just added so much extra comedy twist onto it that I loved. The gore was perfectly grotesque. The acting was great.
Yep.
I didn't even realize, like at first watching it, the mom... was the chick that played She-Hulk.
Yeah, I saw that my second time, too.
Yeah.
And the girl who played their aunt was, if you've watched Schitt's Creek, that was Twyla from Schitt's Creek.
Yeah, yeah. I was like,
that's his sister. What's her name?
Levy. Yep.
Yeah. So, fucking.
That was a good scene too when they like aunt and uncle who were swingers. Yeah. Who never wanted kids. He's like, you know, we're gonna try our best, but
yeah,
our best probably isn't gonna be that good. good shit. That was, it was a fun movie. It was very fun. I'll definitely recommend this one.
And, oh, God, and, yes.
This is one that I think is like a real popcorn movie. Like, it's one for of sure. those movies where you sit down and you're just like in totally having a ball enjoying yep. a film while you're watching it.
Or if you're flipping through the channels and it's on something, you're like, oh, we're halfway through. I'm going to watch the rest of The Monkey.
Yeah, I did order the 4K version, of course, because I love my physical media. I know that streaming media someday is going to fuck us all, so I want to make sure I'm prepared for that day. And this
be borrowing a lot of media from you.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed this film. I think anyone that hasn't seen it definitely should see it because
it's fun.
It's fun. It's a fun film, all in all. With the horror, the gore. If you love gore, you love horror, you love horror, comedy horrors, this is like, it's going to touch all the right spots and make you feel good about it.
For sure.
All in all, I'm going to say, you know, this is something we talked about. We should probably start coming up with better way to review things.
Yeah. Like, give it like acting, cinematography, plot, maybe, overall.
Visual effects, practical effects, something like that. But I think for this time around, we're going to just stick with our 5-star rating.
Yep.
Based on the basics. And I'm going to say 4 stars from me.
Yeah, that's where I was going.
That's exactly where I was going.
Yep.
Excellent. 4 all around.
Fantastic. I'm going to add that to our Letterboxd. We are going to give The Monkey a 4-star rating. Definitely worth watching, and probably one I will definitely watch again. Probably several.
Elijah Wood was in it too, which was like a nice little treat.
Yep.
He's great in Yellow Jackets. I know you guys don't, you know, his role in that.
No, that's good. Like I said, there's good and bad in it.
No, I got you.
Yeah, I mean, you got Adam Scott in there. You got the.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that opening scene.
Yeah.
That was great too. But he tried to bring it back.
Yeah, Tatiana Maslany. That's the girl that played the
She-Hulk. Yeah, because I was like, I recognize her from something.
Yeah.
She's cute in a, you know, exotic way.
April 24th, 2025. 4 stars. All right. Excellent. That is our review of The Monkey. We're just going to slap it with 4 stars. And what we'll do is in the future, we're going to try and come up with a way to better evaluate films. It's funny because I looked back as I was adding all this stuff into our letterbox, I realized the first handful of movies we watched, we didn't even fucking give them a rating.
Really?
Zombies? We didn't give it a star rating.
Interesting. Really?
Huh. We just talked about it.
Amateurs.
I know, man.
I know. Oh, shit.
You are a fucking star, aren't you?
Nice. All right. Let me just give the outro and then we're good. Where the hell's my notes? Where did my notes go? Oh, there they are. As always, you know, give us some feedback. Let us know what you think of the show. Give us some top five.
We need that desperately.
Give us some films to review. We'll review old films, new films, you know, really old films, whatever.
We've got to start doing that to go back and.
Yeah, yeah.
Just watch stuff from the 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
90s, stuff that, 70s, stuff like, whatever.
I know we did The Burning a few years ago, 2 years ago. Which
yeah, The Changeling. Didn't we do The Changeling, too?
We did The Changeling, too.
Maybe if we start running out of top five lists, we do two movie reviews. One random one from the 70s, 60s, 70s, and 80s that, why not? And then something newer.
Yeah, that's always a possibility, too. Yeah, so give us some feedback. You can email us at feedback@the-american-nightmare.com. You can catch us on Blue Sky at the-american-nightmare.com. You can leave us a voicemail if you're too lazy to email us. 1-562-247-4444. 5855. Leave us a voicemail. Tell us we're idiots and then hang up. I don't care. Whatever. Do something.
Somebody just send something. Just, you know, anything. Voicemail,
we
Facebook
know you're
message.
Listening. I can see you downloading the fucking audio.
Just all something.
Right. Yeah, so.
Not creepy, though.
And then outside of that, follow us on Letterboxd now. We're also on Letterboxd at TAN Podcast on Letterboxd. I put the link on our website, so find it there. I also put it up on Facebook. So if you're someone that follows us in our Facebook group, I will put the link to our Letterboxd account there. And you can see all the movies we reviewed and the star ratings we gave them. All right. Thanks for listening, and you'll hear from us next month.
Peace out.